Wow. Yeah. Your real beautiful faces in these chairs are such a delight. Look around. So we were setting up the camera and my shoes were too high for the shot. And I said, well, I'll go barefoot. But I love actually going barefoot, especially, you know, a lot of times spirit will just tell me, you know, just take off your shoes and I'll fight, you know, really? But it is holy ground, right? This is holy, sacred ground to all of us who feel that heart connection to this community, to all of you who have not yet connected or maybe tuning in, checking us out. We can't wait to invite you back and to welcome you home physically to this space as well. So very much to celebrate, isn't there? I mean, this is, so today is, I'm going to move this around because I'm not used to having you in the sanctuary. It's like, what do I do with stuff? I've had to be like pinned to this spot, you know, right on camera. And bless you all, I'll still try to stay, you know, in my range here. But I really kind of want to move toward each of you and hug you. And you know, I know we're you know, taking it slow. We're going to ask each other. We're going to be respectful of that. But it is just so joyful, isn't it, to reconnect in this way. There's something, you know, as spiritual beings, we really get to know how important the physical experience is as well through a process like this. You know, just even being, we were recently at a 8,000 person event at the Oracle Stadium for Pride, Brendley and I. But when we got seated, they had us all, you know, so spread out. But going in, we were all going through these same lines and we were right up against people. In fact, at one point we were just sort of like in this mosh pit of people, you know, coming in. And I have to say, just for those few moments, for me, it was comforting. It was like, oh yeah, my people, humans, you know, like closeness. And then when we were all spread out, it was kind of strange. I didn't feel very connected. So here we are. Anyway, that was not something I planned to share, but who cares, right? So it's Father's Day, it's solstice. Yesterday was Juneteenth, and it's reuniting Unity of Walnut Creek Day. So man, the celebrations. I just keep coming. So to Father's Day, I have this opening for you. There are three friends, and they were all fathers, of course, and their children lived far away, so they had no one to celebrate Father's Day with. And they said, hey guys, let's go on a road trip. So the three fathers set out, and they were driving across the state, and they drove across the state line in Louisiana, and they saw this sign that said this town was coming up. And the town is spelled a little bit different than how, well, a lot different than how it's pronounced. So what ensued then was this at first discussion and then kind of an argument, really, about how you say the name of this town. Now, one guy said it's Natchitoches, you know, absolutely. And another guy said, no, it's Natchitoches. The other guy said, no, it's Natchitoches. So they all had these different ideas, and they went on about the pronunciation and the phonetics of it and the background. One of them knew some history about it. So they stopped to eat together, and they go up to the cashier and they say, look, could you settle this for us? We've been just talking about this, you know, all morning. Where are we? And please, when you say it very slowly and articulately. So the cashier says, Burger King. Which makes me want to say, where are we? Unity. Ah, feels good. Better than Burger King. So as we gather here, as we celebrate, as we acknowledge all these things that are happening at the same time, I want to also acknowledge all the preparation that has gotten us to this place. All the, you know, the volunteers, the staff, this amazing production team. Wow. Yeah. what they have done for all these weeks. I know we've got another one like it next week. Well, like this, in this hybrid adventure that we're on this morning. But man, unbelievable. I mean, I have such sentimental feelings for John's, gosh, I don't know if I can get through this. for all the days and weeks, Sundays that John would show up at our house and bring his whole setup, John Nichols, who's in the back, who would be our video switch and sound, and he brought lighting, and we would rearrange our entire living room every morning before he got there. I mean, it's been a journey. It's been a journey to get to this place. And here we are, because of the village that is Unity, because of all of you have given of your time and your talent and your treasure and your support by tuning in on Sundays or by being here physically to help us get set up for this day, for this moment. So thank you all for the preparations. I could never name everybody, so we'll just say thank you to the community, to the village that is Unity of Walnut Creek. So this is the first day of summer, which marks a time of play. It marks a time of recreation or recreation. Summertime is a time to relax and to play. And we get to, it's never a mistake, right? The day that something falls. So this falls on a day that we get to be in the joy of coming back together. It also falls on the longest day of the year, right? Solstice is the longest day, the most daylight. So we get to bask in the most divine light. So those two factors are really working for us in this process of changing, of emerging, of coming out into community, into marketplace, into being together once again. Online, of course, on Zoom, we have a class going on right now called Metamorphosis. And yes, some of the students in the back, yes. And Metamorphosis is a prosperity class that uses the idea of the butterfly, which, you know, is, of course, that wonderful metaphor that we're going to break down in a few minutes. But first, I want to tell you what metamorphosis is defined as. It is defined as the change of the form or nature of a thing or person into a completely different one by natural or supernatural means. So it's that complete shift, that complete transformation, metamorphosis. Yesterday, as we celebrated reuniting and solstice here on our lawn in our labyrinth, it was really joyful. And what came as we were co-creating this experience was the butterfly idea, you know, this idea of metamorphosis. Actually, I believe it was Michelle who brought that forth, and Michelle really took the lead in our ritual, Michelle Chikala, our youth ministry director. And so we actually went through a process of acknowledging ourselves in those stages of metamorphosis that a butterfly goes through. I mean, it is so amazing when you think about it, that one creature, a crawling creature upon the earth, turns itself into a soup. I mean, literally dissolves itself and then recreates itself into something completely different that flies. Isn't that amazing? So when you think about metamorphosis in this way, you think about going from that crawling place to that resting place, to the cocoon, to the chrysalis. And that is really that period of time that we've been in the pandemic, whether we were, you know, out working in the world or whatever our individual situations were, there was a collective experience of cocooning. There was a collective experience of the chrysalis, of this time of being in this place that is a resting place, but so much going on in that resting place, right? Things dissolving, old ways of being, turning into soup. And then a recreation, a rebuilding, a complete shape-shifting of who we are. So that has happened for us. And it's time now, I think, to pay attention to where we are, to ask ourselves, where are we in this process of metamorphosis? Dr. Wendy Sue Universe is this academic who breaks down science for kids. And I like to, you know, go to the resources that break down things for kids. That's usually where I start with my understanding. And I just like the plain English that things are written in. And so she says this about the process. She says, caterpillars are born with everything they need to become butterflies. Bit by bit, she says, they unlock the information from their cells, and the butterfly's organs and wings and antenna and legs form in that chrysalis. So all of that is happening. What happened to us in our chrysalis? What happened to you in your 15 months of cocooning? What got formed there? You know, caterpillars have little bumps that are the beginnings of where the wings will come out. You might look in the mirror sometime soon and see if there might be a little something there. A little starter of these wings that we are growing as we emerge from this time. We, of course, are born with everything we need, just like the caterpillar, to transform, to metamorphosize into the fullest divine potential that we have come here to be. Bit by bit, it gets unlocked in our cells. Bit by bit, what is no longer needed dissolves away into that soup, and the divine intelligence of the universe begins to bring forth what is new, helps us to sprout our proverbial wings. So Marissa Strickland has this imagery, these paintings of what that might look like for us as a human. And it looks a little precarious too. I mean, it's amazing. And then you think about it, oh, that little just hanging there on that little branch, right? In this process of unfolding and unfurling and gaining our wings. So it might feel precarious to you right now. It might feel exciting. It might feel hopeful. It might feel overwhelming. It might feel, you might have the sense of great passion for where you are in your process of becoming all that you have come here to be. And all that we have come here to be together. Is when we're in this process, whether it's individually or collectively, when we've been immersed in this sort of cocoon of COVID, then we begin to maybe ask ourselves, what has changed? How have I changed in the last 15 months? What did I leave behind in that soup? What did I let go that I no longer need? How am I going from crawling now to flying? And it's lightening the load as part of that, right? Letting go of what no longer serves so that we can indeed move into the fullness of who we've come here to be, to fly. So we gather here with a sense of familiarity and a sense of something feels different. Do you feel that? And what that difference is not so much place, but what our community really is. It's us. The metamorphosis is carried in our own hearts, in our own spirits, and it's carried back to place. The place was here for us. Always filled with our energy and awaiting us. I was starting to feel like it was starting to feel a little lonely, the energy here. You know, like, where are my people? Where are the hearts and the bodies and the minds and the spirits of my people? Well, they're home now. And you can feel the joy in the place, the awakening, the aliveness in the place. As that happens, you bring the energy. So as we come back together then, there'll be maybe feelings of both, the sense of familiarity and the sense of, something is different. What is different in me is the question to carry with us. Who are we now as we emerge from this cocoon? And who will we be? I know this, as Daniel Namad sings, you are in the right place at the right time, just where you're supposed to be. And if we can know that in every moment of the way, every step of the way back to reuniting, because we're still in a process, aren't we? I think we're now, many of us collectively, maybe the wings are, you know, coming out, but they're still wet. You know, it's like we're not in that, like, let's just fly place yet necessarily. It's just kind of like checking out my new being, my new body, and seeing how this is going to go. So as we come back, though, as we come to this right place and the right time, here's what we need to know, regardless of how unfamiliar or new or familiar it might feel, that we are loved here, that we are celebrated here, that we are accepted here and welcomed here, no matter where we are on our journey, no matter where we are in our hearts, no matter where we are in our spiritual journey, no matter what condition we think we're in. We're welcomed and loved. You know, in times of cocooning, there's a time of solitude, right? A lot of times we think of that when we think of cocooning, you know, the withdrawing, the time of inner work, the time of solitude, and there's certainly a place for that for all of us. And during that time, there's recollecting, there's recentering, there's remembering, there's all those things that happen, maybe insights that come from spirit. And if you're an introvert like me, you really have to have those times, right? And even the extroverts, I think, would say they maybe need to have a little bit of that time anyway, to rejuvenate ourselves and to come back alive again, to feel that connection, to get quiet on the outside so we can hear on the inside. We have, do you know Brian Andreas? He's the artist of the Story People. Yeah, so we have a couple of his pieces, and one of them is just outside our bathroom door. So it's something that I often see in the morning, and it says, I've always liked the time before dawn because there's no one around to remind me of who I'm supposed to be. So it's easier to remember who I am. So there's that process that happens, right, in our authentic journey, in our who I am as a soul, in our connection process. And then I was introduced to the teachings of Sobhonfu Somme, who some of you might know. She actually was living in California when she made her transition. She lived part of her time most recently in Sacramento and then part of her time back in her home in Africa amongst the Dogari tribe for which she was a part. And she would often bring the spiritual teachings of the Dogari to people in the West. And one of the things she talks about is that in the tribe, nobody has to go apart to remember who they are, because the tribe itself holds that kind of space that reminds everybody who they are, that makes space to truly celebrate and accept and see the people, see them for who they are, what they bring, what their gifts are, what they're going through. And so there's never that feeling like I got to get away to recollect myself, to recenter myself, because it's in the midst of the community, in the midst of the circle and the tribe that that happens, because you've got these witnesses that hold that kind of space all the time, that encourage, that call forth the best in you. And that is the vision I hold. It's the truth of who we are as a community, but we are too metamorphosizing, right? We too are in a process of becoming the fullness of what we can be. And so there's always more that we can open up to in that space to encourage and to celebrate and to love and to accept one another. So here's a spin-off of that first quote that Brian shared, and it goes like this. I've always liked to be in the community with the kind of people who accept and celebrate me, so it's easier to remember who I am. So we also come here to remember. We also come here to feel the divinity in us. We also come here to remember the truth of who we are. This is the place where we gather when we're in person and the energy is here, which is so palpable to me right now. It's here that the love is present. And so it may be in our own quiet times. It's not an either or, but it's also this part of the walk, this part of the journey that's essential to so many. And really kind of it's built into our DNA as human beings. We, you know, like it or not, we're social beings. And this is a part of how we move and how we grow and how we evolve and how we emerge into our butterfly selves. So if you could imagine, like in the Dogari tribe, I see it as it's one, right? We're not a public person and a private person. We're one person. We don't have one persona, one mask we put on, per se, or several masks that we put on. We're just ourselves. And so when you cross the threshold of this community, I hope you don't feel the need to put some kind of mask on, but to just cross the threshold as you were in the very most comfort of your home or wherever you came from, where you are most comfortable. In the presence of your very best friend, may you also be the same in the presence of this community. Because it's in that oneness of self that we really remember who we are and stop worrying about all the masks and facades that we carry in the proverbial way in life, right? In the metaphorical way in life. I'm looking upon many masked individuals right now, so I'm looking past the actual masks. But we are in a process, aren't we, of unmasking. We are in a process of, literally unmasking and therefore figuratively, spiritually unmasking. And this is what I'm behooving us to do, you know? This is what behooves us to do on our journey, is to unmask, to let the beauty of whatever is here in our hearts be seen. To take away the obstacles, to let them fall away. You don't have to take them away. The caterpillar just surrenders into the soup, just gives over into the process. And that's what we're asked to do on our spiritual walk, to give over, to allow ourselves to be. So are you ready? Are you ready to fully unmask all that you are in truth, yes, yes, in this way too, and to express that true divine self that you are? Our community stands by, ready and welcome to hold that space for you, eager to see you. I'm just thinking about this morning in the middle of the 9:30 service, Lisa was getting a hit to sing a different song. And it was, I am remembering who I am by Melissa Felipe. And she didn't have the notes with her or the music or anything. So she, you know, just had to remember and look up some resources before she came up. But it is that remembrance of who we are, right? And it was a demonstration to me of authenticity that she followed her heart. I don't have those notes with me. But it doesn't matter because my heart is telling me that something else is here. It's the same with our journey, isn't it? That, oh yeah, my, you know, parents, school, whoever, you know, world, society, advertisers told me I should be like this or look like this. But my heart is telling me something else. And that's the journey that we're walking. So the courage to break out into that, to be that, and to know that you are in a community that supports that, applauds that even, holds space for that, encourages that. It's key, isn't it? J.R. Miller is a Christian father figure of sorts, and he says this: a true home is one of the most sacred of places. It is a sanctuary into which we flee from the world's perils and alarms. It is a resting place to which, at the close of the day, the weary retire and gather new strength for the battle and the toils of tomorrow. It is a place where love learns its lessons, where life is schooled in discipline and strength, where character is molded. So all of these things, these grand and glorious things, happen in the places that we consider sanctuary, with the people that carry the energy of that sanctuary. You know, monarch butterflies, they make their journey alone. They do the migratory journey pretty much alone. I mean, each, you know, they're not clustered together, in other words. It's mostly an individual journey. And so too is, in many ways, our spiritual journey ultimately is, you know, a track that we are taking alone, but not really, right? Because we always have around us somewhere the sense of community. And monarch butterflies, when they get to their destination, especially, they cluster. You've maybe seen them if you've gone to a migration site or you've seen pictures of them when just huge clusters, like beehives hanging off of trees. They're just enormous clusters. And they do that to protect themselves from predators, from wind. But they also cluster near the source of nectar. And so when we come together in community, it's the same, isn't it? We may take this individual spiritual journey, this migration from the beginnings of coming into the physical world as a physical being and learning all that's a part of that, and then remembering who we are. And then we have this cluster of community around us, and we all cluster around the source, the spiritual nectar, the place where we get fed, the place where we feel inspired, the place where we draw our strength. And we draw it then from one another. So we're very much like these beautiful butterfly friends. It's called a roost sometimes as well. So our reemergence process, very much like after 15 months of migration, we are coming back closer now into our cluster, closer to the source of the spiritual nectar that we gain from being in community. Yesterday, we chanted while we walked the labyrinth. This was one of the, we closed with a ritual of walking the labyrinth, and there were 41 of us, I think, gathered here. So 40 people on our labyrinth is a lot of people. And there were times where it was, you know, really spread out and people had lots of space. I'd say about half or three quarters of the labyrinth at one point had a lot of space. And we were all clustered in this one quarter. It was so interesting. And, you know, I don't know how it was for everybody. I know two people said, oh, it's too much. And they, you know, stepped aside and waited. I was enjoying it. I was enjoying just seeing the faces and the whole, you know, the labyrinth is a metaphor for your spiritual walk. So to be walking together as a community and then be clustered in places just was more of this reinforcement of the coming together and the importance of coming together. So while we were witnessing one another and walking, we were chanting. And one of Michelle's friends, Melissa, actually took our intention for our time together and wrote this little chant, this song. So I'm not much of a song leader, but I'm just going to go ahead and do it so we can sing it or chant it together. I think you can see it on the front screens pretty good. Yeah, thank you so much. John just pulled that together about 10 minutes before service for me. They're magic back there, these guys. So here's how it goes. Alone in cocoons for far too long, emerging as butterflies. Together again where we belong, emerging as butterflies. Pollinated by love, able to transform, emerging as butterflies. Stronger together, we're now a swarm, emerging as butterflies. Isn't that lovely? We're now a swarm. I love it. We're going to work that into some affirmations coming up. Stay tuned. So one of the things that's happening in our process is not only are we unmasking, not only are we revealing the beauty and the magnificence of who we are in truth, even in our messy moments, we are also moving closer together physically, right? So obviously we don't have the physical distancing restrictions anymore. And so we move from that place of distance to closer, which is where we're getting now. And maybe even, as we wish, intimacy. Into me, see. It's an invitation when we're ready to let people see the truth of who we are. To let people see into our hearts, into our souls, what we have to offer. And as we create that safe space for that, that welcoming and encouraging space, more and more of us will feel more and more open, right? More and more willing to step in, to sing our soul song, if you will. Which is another piece to that song that Lisa was sharing, is Melissa Filippi, that song that she was remembering, I Am Remembering Who I Am, was Melissa's soul song. And so that song has really taken off in the New Thought movement. And I think, why do certain songs really take off? Well, when it comes from somebody's authentic soul expression, we can all resonate with that. And so the more that you show that truth of who you are, the more people will resonate with that and be fed by that. You yourself become the spiritual nectar. So, you know, when we think about this intimacy, it's also the intimacy with a God within us, right? It's intimacy with the divine. So we are told in the Gospels that God counts every hair on your head. Isn't that incredible? That you are so known and so intimately loved that every hair on your head is numbered. 7.8 billion people, every hair on your head. Course, that again, which is another symbolic idea, but that love and that knowingness is so deep. And so how well do we know the divine in us? How intimately do we know ourselves? It's a question for us to sit with, to ponder, to see if we could meet that intimacy. So if God, if the divine, if the spirit in us and all around us sees us in that way, can we meet it and see ourselves and each other in the same way? Can we mirror that? That's what intimacy really is about, isn't it? So, you know, when Brenly and I first got together 13 years ago, I had this vision really early on in our relationship. And it's hard to describe. It was like being, I don't know if other people do this. When you're meditating, if you have, you know, a visual of being inside yourself, does anybody ever? Yes. Okay. Some of you are nodding. Okay. I know we all have different experiences. So it was like that. Like I was looking out from within myself, but we were holding hands and we were looking at this one heart. And it was like we were just beginning this exploration of the heart together. And the heart was my heart. It was her heart. It was the heart that gets formed by where two or more are gathered. It was the heart within the divine heart. And so it's an image that I just offer to you as, you know, whatever your image might be, of what does that look like to do that intimate walk toward the divine in you? Maybe it looks like that. And maybe the hands that you hold, take a look and see who's there. Whose hands do you want next to you walking on that journey of the heart? Maybe it's this whole community. Maybe it's a beloved. Maybe it's someone you're calling in. Maybe it's a best friend, a parent, a child, a grandchild. So just to consider who walks beside me on this spiritual walk and remember that one and remember the desire for this intimacy on the walk toward the divine, of the divine. And then we consider with that our commitments, right? Our commitment to divine love, our commitment to one another, our commitment to community, to relationship, and how that deepens then our walk. So during this time of the pandemic, I decided we should deepen our commitment. And so I asked Brenly to marry me. And she said yes. So this is part of, yes, thank you. Yes, we could take a moment to celebrate. Thank you. I didn't expect to say that, and especially not with her here, but that's okay. You kind of have a sense of her presence here. Maybe I've presenced that a little bit. She's off with her nephew playing golf right now. So, but it's that, you know, the point of that story is not only just to share that good news with you, but also what is the commitment we make? What is the commitment we are making to ourselves, to our journey, to our divinity, to our emergence, to our winged selves, to the truth of who we are, to each other, to the people that we walk beside, to our community, We can only search our own hearts and know, but as we deepen that commitment, as we express that commitment, as we proclaim it, everything gets more supported. We get a more solid foundation through which we can walk forward together, or within together, or without into the world together, whatever it may be. I used to go fishing with my dad, and on Father's Day, I'm thinking about him, and I didn't like to fish, but I went with him all the time, as much as I could. Whenever I had the opportunity, I said yes, and I didn't like the, you know, putting a worm on the hook. In fact, I often would just go, "Dad," and I didn't like, you know, hooking the fish. I did like the casting and the reeling in. That was pretty cool. That was fun. It was, you know, but then it was like the real thing on both ends, right? And it was, anyway, sorry for those of you who love to fish on Father's Day. I appreciate what you do and what you enjoy. And I appreciated what my dad enjoyed. But to me, why did I go with him? Because I wanted to be in his presence. I just wanted to hang out with my dad. It was cool that it was on the water and a boat in nature, but I probably would have gone anywhere with my dad. If he said, "You want to hang out in a cardboard box?" I would have been like, "Yeah." So it's that kind of presence, I think, that we're in now as we come back to in community. It doesn't really matter what we do, honestly. Like today, I was like, should I even give a talk? Should we just like sit around and just share stories? You know? Because it's about just being together. It's about, this is where we are now. We will rebuild. We will, you know, expand. We will create and co-create, of course. We will collaborate. We will rebuild teams. We'll do all that stuff. But I don't feel like that's so important right now. It's just like to be in each other's presence. We don't need to go fishing for anything. It's all right here. So on the summer solstice, in this divine light that we are bathed in the joy of summertime, in this reconnection and reuniting time, let's unmask our divine selves and let's truly reunite as a spiritual community. So I want to invite you to say that with me as our affirmation. Together, I unmask my divine self and reunite with my spiritual community. And so it is.